do it at 2:30 every day, huh?
See how people handle it.
Okay. I'm not handling it well. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Nick Sirianni joins us in just a few minutes.
Do you think he's a big Justice and AJ guy?
Well, we could ask him. Might get dead silence on the other side. But the Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Shop the home team, marks-jewelers.com. Is it safe to believe in the Phillies again? Ike, what do you think the poll's at?
I would say people are probably feeling good, but not... I don't think people are going overboard, so I'll go, the majority says it is, I'll go with 58%.
54? You're always pretty close.
Wow.
Finger on the pulse.
Man.
Finger on the pulse. Before we get to Nick Sirianni, Ike has something to tell you.
Yeah, I want to tell you about the home team.
Mark's Jewelers?
Yeah, talking about our friends over at Mark's Jewelers. Now, the team at Mark's have diamond engagement rings to meet every budget. Mark's Jewelers is minutes from everywhere with showrooms in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Stop into Mark's Jewelers and be amazed by their diamond diner. Grab a drink at their bar and experience the difference Mark's Jewelers has to offer. Now, did I mention no Philly sales tax? Check them out online at marks-jewelers.com and tell them Ike Reese sent you.
Now, I hesitate to take Joe from the Northeast before Nick Sirianni, but I feel like I need to. Is it safe to believe in the Phillies again?
Still.
This is not Cal Stevenson, Joe. It's a different Joe in the Northeast.
Oh, well, then I'm a little less excited, but nevertheless, Joe, you're on WIP.
All right, listen, guys. I love you guys. Greatest show on earth. I won the greatest prize you guys ever gave out, the ultimate ticket. I won the season tickets.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sick of hearing these people call in and bashing the Phillies. I mean, it's ridiculous. This time last year, they weren't even in a playoff hunt. We're 20-plus games over 500, and they're getting bashed.
Who's bashing them, Joe?
300. Count how many 300 hitters are in baseball. We got one of them on our team, and they're bashing this kid. I don't get it. I'm losing my mind over this. Like, and I'm the ultimate fan when it comes to this. I'm the first one to put down every team. Like, oh yeah, they. But there's what is the? I don't get it. I don't.
Well, would you have said that last week, prior to this 4-game winning streak?
What's that?
Would you have said this last week?
100%. I was saying this the whole.
Then why even play the game, Joe?
You've been saying this for 2.5, 3 months.
Yes.
Oh well. God bless you.
500. Like for real. Like I'm like.
I understand that, but it's not about being above 500, Joe. It's about playing your best baseball and people believing that the team has a chance to win. I'm with you. I don't think there's any reason to necessarily bury the team or give up on the team. I don't think we have done that, but I don't know if you're saying this. Correct me if I'm wrong. You don't think fans have had the right to be critical of the team at all over the last month? Let's just say the last few weeks. Forget about it, that they've been trending below 500 for almost 3 months. But what about just the last 2 to 3 weeks?
But they established themselves. They established themselves as a premier team. And, of course, you're going to stump. It's 160 games. They just want to give up and wait for the playoffs. Like a lot of, you know, players do that. Like Edmonton Oilers, remember ice hockey? They didn't
want
to play. Joe, I'm afraid. I want to argue with Joe all night long, but we have Nick Sirianni on. So, Nick, thank you for joining us. You just saved Joe from the Northeast. We're gonna beat on him for a solid 2.5 minutes. But you're here, so you take priority. I appreciate you joining us.
There you go, Joe.
Yeah. He owes you one. So Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. So we have to start with your Eagles Radiothon item. So it's lunch and games with head coach Nick Sirianni. You famously competitive. They have lunch with you, and they play horse and putter ball. Now, the rumors in the hallways here is that, and I don't use this phrase lightly, is that you're sort of a psychopath about the horse thing. Would that be a correct characterization?
Yeah, I like the word psychopath. I think you're right. Yeah, that's fair.
Well, you know, you take it seriously, even though it's a charity thing. You want, admit it truly, you want to beat whoever wins this auction.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I want to win badly. I want to win badly at this game of horse. And the putter, whatever the other game is, too. I just take the horse things, just I take a little bit more serious because I was a little more serious about basketball back in the day.
So let me ask you, Coach. You got brothers, and I know I grew up with four brothers myself, and being competitive, that was just something in the household. It seems like that's where we got our first sort of sign of competing against someone else that was trying to be better than your older brother or their younger brother. I'm wondering, is that where a lot of this sort of originates with you, where you sort of had this competitive spirit? Is that where it sort of starts in your early years?
Like, I think you're asking because you know it is, because you lived in the same household growing up, right? And and that's 100%. I'm the youngest. So
Okay.
Mine is, you get the crap kicked out of you no matter what, right? But you're also like, hey, one day I'm going to be big as you, son of a gun, and I am going to be better than you guys at what we do. And that was always my mindset, like, how am I going to get better than them at what they did when they were my age? And so It all matters, and that was, I would say, that is a big part of how I grew up and why the competitiveness is the way it is.
Now, I love how you've found ways to incorporate this in the culture with your team. Like, when you first got here a couple years ago and we heard about a lot of this stuff, I thought it was crazy. Let's face it. I played under Coach Reed. He wasn't shooting basketball hoops and stuff in the building. But now I look around, Coach, and I'm seeing videos from other teams. This is happening with a lot of teams around the league. So it seems like this is something that's starting to catch on around the league.
I guess we were a little bit of a trend center, the way that is. I think you know, we've had a good culture here for the past 3 years, and we can look to continue to do that. And so when you have that, I think people look into that. Like, why is it that these guys want to be around each other? Why is it that these guys enjoy being around each other? That, you know, and all those things like that matter, and that's why we do some of those things.
You know, Coach, you mentioned in a press conference toward the end of camp there about the book on leadership that you're reading. I'm sort of taking that competitiveness and moving it to this. And you mentioned accountability and sort of the example you set for the players, for the other coaches, all of those things. How difficult is it to sort of adjust a personality trait that, or your actions because of a personality trait that's been there so long because the situation demands it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. That really is a good question. And I think the answer is we go through great lengths, right, to great lengths to put ourselves in position to win week in, week out, and season in, season out. And so, like, if we're going to be here all night and if we're going to be doing all the things that we do to get ourselves ready for games, get ourselves ready for seasons, and we're honest with each other and say, hey, what can I do better? You're willing to do anything, right? If you're willing to do anything to get better, you're willing to do anything to give the team a chance to win. And that includes, you know, changing things about yourself, right? Because, right, that the change, you go through after every season, through after every game, what could I have done better? And that's after a win and that's after a loss. Sometimes it hits a little bit harder after a loss where you think to yourself, what can I do better? How do we, you know, or how we ended the season or last year or this and that, you know, and you got to live with some of those things, and you got to really look yourself in the mirror and say, what can I do to get better? What did I do to get better? And this is just something. And if you're serious about, you know, making strides and making gains, and you want the team to make strides and make gains and look at themselves in the mirror, you better as heck do it yourself as the head coach. So, it's all in the attempts to get better. And guess what? Like, me doing stuff like that and reading the leadership book and doing the different things that I'm doing to grow myself as a coach, that's not only making me a better coach, it's making me a better husband, it's making me a better father as well. And so all these guys, the guys and my wife and my kids, they're worth it.
So I guess just sort of a comparison to draw for that. When we were talking about basketball, you think about a jump shot. If a guy's got bad form on his jump shot, he can practice and practice and practice. But then as soon as a defender is running at him, sometimes the old habits come back, right? And you go to what's comfortable. So how do you work on assuring that when things get tense and when things get tough, that those things that you've learned and those adjustments stay in place?
It's easier. It's definitely easier said than done. And there's no doubt that you're going to have some setbacks here and there. But it is. It's like you're not trying to get 27% better every day. You'd love to. You're trying to get 1% better every day. You're trying to get a little bit better each day. And I think when you practice, we are a product of what our habits are. So you try to put yourself in those positions as much as you possibly can now, right, so that when you get to the heat of the moment, that you're living those, that you're living the things, that you're living your habits, essentially, right? And so, you know, and I think that's a good analogy, what you said with the jump shot, boom, when the heat of the moment comes, and how am I going to shoot that? How am I going to go from shooting a jump shot like Bill Cartwright and move it into shooting it like Kobe Bryant, right? Well, I've hopefully by then, because he had the nastiest jump shot, if you remember, right?
Yes.
I just remember that.
Do you know your audience here, Rob? Yeah,
I love the Kobe fact that you use Bill Cartwright. Yeah. I mean, because that is the worst looking jump shot ever. Yes. I agree with you.
And then, so what you try to do is you put yourself in those scenarios as much as you possibly can, so it's a habit. Again, we are a product of our habits. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect in it. It doesn't mean you won't have some setbacks in it. But it's the constant habit of doing the things over and over again that you're hoping that you can correct yourself. And that's what we do as when we are players. That's what we do when we're coaches. And that's what we try to do in our lives. And that's what I try to do and lead here with the Eagles.
Well, man, you as a head coach going into your, I believe, fourth year, right? Fourth year that you're going you're going into. People, we get questions about, okay, what does Coach Sirianni do? What is his job responsibility? And I often say head coaches have so many different responsibilities as it pertains to a team. You've had different coordinators, again, I would say for a third straight year, I would imagine. Yeah, this is just third straight year having different coordinators. How has that been for you, working with Coach Fangio and Coach Moore, you guys getting on the same page and sort of coming up with a vision and a plan of how you guys want to play as a football team? And I would imagine from your perspective, getting to know these guys, because I don't know if you necessarily have a working history with them. How's that been for you, getting adjusted to your new coaching staff and things?
Yeah, great question. You know, it's a long process, right? Because naturally, there's so many things, and I'll go back. You know, I'll go back with maybe Jonathan Gannon and Shane Steichen, like just from a couple years ago. Like those guys and I have coached together for so long, right? And so we've been through the process of going through it, like of you know your decision making on fourth down or in 2 minute or this and that, whatever it is, right? Now there's so much to catch up on, and it's so you end up spending a lot of time together, right? And so you're almost like, if you want to be all on the same page, which obviously is the main goal, is that we're all on the same page. You got to spend endless amounts of time together talking about all the different things of how, you know, game management, stuff like that. And it's been fun. It's been fun just to, you know, go through the philosophies again, hear new philosophies. You really grow when you hear new philosophies. Man, I've never thought of it that way. You know, Shane and I used to think of it this way. I really like how you're thinking of this, Kellen or Vic. You know what? Let's do that. Like, so you just, it's the amount of time you spend together, and it's been great. Again, learning new things and, you know, kind of going through those different things, because both coaches are outstanding coaches, right? That's why they're here. I really feel like, you know, we hit a home run with these two coaching hires, right? Vic's been an established defensive coordinator. You know, let me rephrase this. Kellen's been an established offensive coordinator for years. Vic's been an established defensive coordinator for decades. Like, how about that? Like, that's awesome. And like, and I know how valuable he is and what he's been doing with the defense. And I see the strides that we've been making. And I'm just so excited to have both of these guys. Like, I really do believe we hit a home run with both these guys. And it's been fun, you know, talking football with these guys, getting all on the same page with these guys. But it's been a grind, and we're going to continue to grind all the way up until that first game, and then and so on as new things pop up and arise.
It seemed like there was a decision this year to get more reps during training camp for on both sides of the ball. How does that decision get made, and for what reason did you make it?
You know, we have a younger team, right? And so, you know, sometimes it is like, you know, that you're going to have some lighter practices, and sometimes it is you're going to have heavier practice. We had a younger team. We had guys that needed reps, and that's why we made the decision to, that's why, and ultimately, I got to kind of hear everybody's opinion And then make a decision that I think is best for the team at the end of the day, right? And so, you know, got a lot of different good feedback from a lot of different people, and at the end of the day, the best decision was, in my eyes, was to have longer, more intense practices because of the age of our team, because of the you know, what we wanted to do with a couple of the different schemes that we're doing. And that's what went into that. And every year is different. Every year that you go through is different. And that this was the right for this year and this team during training camp. And I truly believe, right, that we made a lot of strides in training camp, getting better during training camp. And a lot of that goes has got to be contributed to the reps and the amount of time we were out there. Because there's also a time where the reps that you have, if you go too many, it's counterproductive, right? You don't get the intensity that you will want because guys are, you know, naturally they will have to pace themselves if it's a three-hour practice, three and a half, whatever it is, right? And so we felt like this was the sweet spot for this year. We got great intensity while we also got great work and great reps, and we felt like it's really led us into where we're ready to go play this game. We're pretty much in game week now and pretty much ready to go play this game here on next Friday.
Final thing on that is, you know, none of the offensive starters really played during the preseason, whereas a lot of the Green Bay players did. Do you think that they will be better prepared for that game because they played in the preseason?
No, I mean, if I thought that, then I would have played them, right? You know, I did what I felt like our team needed and each individual needed to be ready to play in game one. You know, whether it was, you know, this year we didn't get as many joint practices, but we did well more, way more inter-squad scrimmages than we've had. And, you know, when you got good talent like we do on both sides of the ball, those inter-squad scrimmages are just as valuable as when you go against another team in a joint, and they're just as competitive. You know, going back to what Ike and I were talking about with our brothers, sometimes the most grueling battles that we've ever had probably are against our brothers and not against another team, right? That's yep. Just the way it is, and that's kind of what, you know, that's kind of how we got a couple of those things and a couple of those good competition back and forth in some of those inter-squad scrimmages we did. I feel like we're ready to go to you know, and we still got the rest of the week to get ready for the plan. But as far as where we are as a football team, I felt comfortable where we are that we would be ready to play this game in game one based off of our practice and our practice habits.
Coach, we're very thankful for you giving us your time today. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, we have to end with two just very quick Elliott Shore Parks questions, if you're okay with
I'll
that.
Oh, hit it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The first one, just would you beat Elliott Shore Parks in horse, and then in a 40-yard dash, would you also beat Elliott Shore Parks?
Cool enough.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. All right. Yeah. Okay. So the second thing, and we've been noticing, and we've been giving Elliot a little bit of hell for this, is that you occasionally will mention Elliot, whether it's, you know, the Jalen Hurts training camp stats or so on and so forth. And we're a little worried that you're endearing yourself too much to Elliot, which might make him biased. So is our stat
keeper, like, during training camp. Like, we don't keep stats during training camp. And you know what? I like to know what the percentage of the quarterbacks is every once in a while, and so I get it from Elliot. Like, he's working for us right now. He's keeping the stats. I got to give him a shout out every once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
So is there an effort within the NovaCare facility, have you met, to sway Elliot by mentioning him in these press conferences and giving him credit like that? Do you know how dangerous this is to us?
You know, again, anybody that does a service for us, I will always want to mention and say, hey, we appreciate you, right? I think everybody needs to know they're loved and appreciated. And you know what? Elliot is right there. Now, do I agree with some of his grades sometimes? No, but we are, and we don't use those.
Yeah, okay,
we
right. Okay.
You know, we use the, hey, he was 21 or 24, whatever it is. That we can go on. But when he gives them a B+ or an A-, we'll leave that to us as the coaches.
All right, man.
I love it, man.
Eagles.
I was not expecting that answer. That was an awesome answer. I was not expecting that.
Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. Hey, Matt.
Thanks, coach.
Best of luck next Friday night. We're all counting on you.
I appreciate it,
guys. All right, thank you.
All right.
There you go. You can bid on the item with Nick Sirianni. So it is games and lunch with head coach Nick Sirianni. It's currently at $3,000, which I think is actually a bargain. You and a guest have lunch with Nick Sirianni and a, quote, competitive game of horse and putter ball. What I'd like is for someone to go in there, and I'm hoping horse is before lunch, beat Sirianni and horse, and then watch him just pout the entire time during lunch, because you know he would. You know he would.
Something tells me he wouldn't stop playing until he wins. Yeah.
One of those things. Yeah. So there you go.
And confirmation that Elliot works for the Eagles.
Yes, obviously.
That was awesome.
The quote is, he's working for us.
The worm exists, man. Yes. We got to get that worm out.
We got to get the NovaCare worm out of Elliot's brain.
That was awesome.
And so you can go and bid at eaglesradiothon.com. While you're there, you can bid on the afternoon show sit-in here in studio with us. You can bid on the WIP afternoon show live broadcast. Or if you don't want to bid on any of this stuff, you can go to eaglesradiothon.com, buy the t-shirt, which will be designed by Jason and Kylie Kelsey. That's only $30. Or donate whatever you want by sending a text message. Text the word afternoon to 53209, and you can donate. 100% of those donations invested into innovative autism research and care programs.
Now, do you think they all sit around the boardroom, all the coaches, and yeah, like, Elliot gave us a B? Yeah. And they're like, we disagree. Like, what is he seeing at practice that we're not?
Is it possible that Elliot's grading scale is just going to be A and B moving forward?
There was a lot of A's. A lot of A's.
And Elliot is grading this from the sideline view. The coaches are actually looking at the film and everything else.
What are you questioning Elliot's grading?
Hold on. Who's to say Elliot's not in those meetings anymore? We don't know anything about Elliot.
He's not going to live this down.
So I saw Elliot was in with you guys yesterday.
Both days.
So Elliot said that the roster for this year is not as good as the roster from last year.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if he got a shock when that happened from the NovaCare worm in his brain for saying that. Do you get a direct call from Howie? I couldn't believe he said that. I was stunned. How are you with the? Were you surprised? Now Bradbury was obviously a little surprised.
Yes.
Yeah.
Other than that, everybody else. I'm waiting to see today because I guess they're signing guys or trying to get guys through waivers to see who's coming back on the practice squad. And it's so weird now with the practice squad. Howie mentioned this yesterday. He was like, yeah, the final 53-man roster, it's really like the final 70-man roster. Because they add 17 practice squad guys.
Right, and I guess they're hoping a lot of the guys they cut don't get claimed off of waivers.
And they can bring them back. So like the Paris Campbell may be back on practice squad. Now that they allow vets.
Yeah.
On practice squad. So nothing surprisingly yesterday. But you know, the fact that they only have two tight ends, that's not going to last. And three running backs.
Yeah. Shipley,
Gainwell,
of course,
Saquon. I mean, they normally keep four running backs. So I wouldn't be surprised if they brought somebody. I was thinking Boston Scott.
Just got released by the Rams.
Got released. I was like, maybe, because they've already signed Jack Stoll to the practice squad. Yeah, so they've already brought a tight end back, so.
I thought it was interesting they cut Dylan McMahon, the center they took in late rounds. They picked up
Washington's
center.
I think was a third round pick. Yeah, I think Washington wound up cutting one of their picks. I think he was a third round pick. I could be wrong. Somebody will correct me. But anyway, Eagles signed him.
Yeah.
They got a backup center on the roster.
Yeah, they got McMahon back on the practice squad.
Oh, they did.
They did bring him back on the practice squad?
Yeah.
Okay. So then he brought both guys back.
Yeah. Cam Jurgens just train him in 12 years to be the next guy.
What it also means, that could that mean something happens on the line?
They kept nine
O-linemen?
Yeah, because they cut Toth, right? And they cut who else?
Some of the other younger guys.
Well, they kept the Michigan guy. Well, whatever. Offensive line.
Good depth.
Only Elliot cares
Call
about
Elliot. O-line. Yeah, well, he got 51 of the 53 right, I guess, on his little projection.
Oh, was he happy about that?
He said he came in second.
Oh, somebody got...
There was like a competition among amongst
the beat writers.
Yes.
Well, don't you have to... But okay, we keep calling Elliot a beat writer. He doesn't write anything
anymore. But he wants to be included with the beat writers.
I know.
He wants to be included with him.
And
he just writes tweets.
I know. And he works for the Eagles.
And he works for the Eagles, which we found out today.
The shocking revelation.
Shocking. Came right from Nick Sirianni's mouth.
Man.
That Elliot works for us. Shocker. All right. The Phillies are playing today, the third game with the Houston Astros. Taijuan Walker will start for the Phillies. We will get you ready for the game and get your, hopefully this is the last time we ever see Taijuan Walker start for the Phillies, so we will get your best Taijuan Walker memories as we bid farewell to Taijuan Walker, as hopefully they just eat the $40 million they owe him so we don't have to watch him anymore. Leading off is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.